just after the disappearance of Lord Krishna, Vajana, the great grandson of Lord Sri Krishna, installed many beautiful deities throughout the area of Vrajbhumi. In this particular section of Vrindavan, Radha Govinda is the predominating deity. Srila Rupa Goswami was sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially to establish Vrindavan as a great holy place by rediscovering the sacred deities and the holy spots of Lord Krishna's pastimes. After several years of Srila Rupa Goswami's incredibly devotional service, after excavating so many holy places and writing so many books, still he was feeling in his heart great dissatisfaction. The reason why is because, according to the Shastras, the beautiful deity of Srila Radha Govinda Devi, which predominates over this part of Vrindavan, had not yet been found. Rupa Goswami searched extensively. He even went to the homes of the Brijvasis looking for him there. But there was no success. One day, Srila Rupa Goswami, with lamentation in his heart, sat on the banks of the holy river Yamuna. At that time, a beautiful young boy who was a Brijabasi approached him. His body was beautiful. He was very gentle and quiet. He asked Rupa Goswami, "Why is it that you look so sad?" Rupa Goswami was spontaneously very attracted to this child. Thus he revealed his heart to him. The child told Srila Rupa Goswami, "There is no reason for you to be in anxiety. Just near to this place, there is a very, very holy Tirtha. A cow comes every day and lets down her milk into the ground. Hidden under the ground at that very place is Sri Govinda Devi. Come with me and I will show you where it is. It is on a hill called Gomatiya." The Brijabasi boy personally brought Srila Rupa Goswami to this very place. He then disappeared. Srila Rupa Goswami understood within his heart who this boy was. And in the ecstasy of love and separation, he fell unconscious. He lay here for a long time. Then he came back to consciousness. He went and gathered the townspeople and told them, "Govinda Devi is under the ground in this place. Bring your tools and let us dig to find him." Soon, thousands of Brijabasis gathered around. And just before they started digging, a divine voice spoke from the sky. It was the voice of Sri Balaramji, who gave all of his blessings for them to discover Sri Govinda Devi and to serve him. Without the blessings of the spiritual master, one cannot find Krishna, nor can one properly serve Krishna. Sri Balaramji is the original spiritual master, of whom all spiritual masters who repeat his words to Parampara are empowered by him. The Brijabasis dug. After some time, from the ground came the beautiful form of Sri Govindadev. When the people saw him, they were astonished. His beauty was greater than thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of Kandarpas or Cupids. When they saw this beautiful form, everyone, their hearts were filled with natural love, tears in their eyes. They all began to call out, Sri Govindadev Ki! There was a wonderful festival. When the people of the Brajbhumi area heard of the discovery of Govindadev, who had been under the ground for practically 4,000 years, hundreds and thousands of people came to celebrate this glorious occasion. Even demigods like Brahma, Shiva, and others disguised themselves as Brahmins just so that they could come and have a close darshan of the beautiful form of Sri Govindadev. Srila Rupa Goswami was so much happy with this service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He immediately wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya, who was living in Puri, that I have found Sri Govindadev. Lord Chaitanya's heart was unbounded with ecstatic joy when he heard this news. He brought one of his most intimate associates, Kashishwar Pandit, to a solitary place and instructed him that you should go to Vrindavan and assist Srila Rupa Goswami in the service of Radha Govindadev. Kashishwar Pandit was Lord Chaitanya's godbrother by the etiquette of initiation. He and Govinda were the two personal servants of Srila Ishwara Puri. Just before Srila Ishwara Puri disappeared from this world, he instructed both Govinda and Kashishwara to become the personal servants of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from his South Indian tour back to Jagannath Puri, Govinda came, and shortly after that, Kashishwar Pandit came. Kashishwar Pandit was very strong in his physical build. Therefore, his special service to Lord Chaitanya was to protect him. When Lord Chaitanya would dance ecstatically in the kirtan of the chanting of the holy name, Kashishwar Pandit would hold the crowds back so that they would not disturb the Lord's beautiful chanting as all the devotees jubilantly and loudly chanted Krishna's name. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to visit the Jagannath temple, sometimes there were crowds of people. Kashishwar Pandit would personally move all the people aside and make sure no one touched Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, because in the mood of a devotee, he would never allow anybody to do that except on very special, intimate occasions. When Kashishwar Pandit heard Lord Chaitanya tell him to leave his personal association to go to Vrindavan, his heart was struck by a thunderbolt of pain. He began to lament. But, being a faithful devotee, he could not speak anything except his willingness to obey. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows the hearts of each of his devotees. He understood the suffering in Kashishwar Pandit's heart. So Lord Chaitanya personally gave him a deity of himself. He told him, this is my own deity form. The name of that deity was Gaur Govinda. It was a deity of Krishna playing the flute. But it was Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally residing in that deity. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you offer him food and you will personally see me eating whenever you offer with faith and devotion. Kashishwar Pandit was pacified by this generous and affectionate gesture of Lord Chaitanya toward him. And with the deity of Gaur Govinda, he came here to Vrindavan, installed Gaur Govinda just to the right side of Govinda Dev, and spent the rest of his life worshipping these two deities. This is very significant, because this is the first deity of Lord Chaitanya in the history of our sampradaya that came to the western provinces of India. We explained today in the Madan Mohan temple how Purushottam Jana, the son of Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, he sent two deities of Srimati Radharani, one for Madan Mohan and one for Govindadev. However, the pujari had a dream, and Radharani spoke to him and said, actually, one deity is me, Radharani, and the other is Lalita Sakhi, and we should be installed on the right and left side of Madan Mohan. When Purushottam Jana heard this, he was very joyful, but simultaneously very sad, because still Govindadev did not have the manifested form of Srimati Radharani beside him for the devotees to worship. So for a long time, he was searching for a suitable deity of Srimati Radharani. To his great sadness, he was not able to find anywhere. One night, Srimati Radharani appeared to him in a dream and explained, dear king, in the Jagannath temple, I am residing. Everyone thinks I'm Lakshmi Devi and they worship me as her, but actually I am the original form of Sri Lakshmi Devi, Srimati Radharani. You should immediately send me to stand before my eternal consort Govindadev and be worshipped by the Goswamis in Vrindavan. There's a beautiful story to this. Generations before, a deity of Sri Radharani from Vrindavan was sent to Utkala, Orissa. And she was worshipped by one very simple and pure devotee whose name was Vrihad Bhanu. He worshipped her with such devotion and attention that even a moment without seeing her seemed like years and years of separation. He worshipped till he became very old and eventually left this world to return to the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan. Then there was no one to take care of this deity. The king of Puri came to that province and he heard the glories of this beautiful deity, and when he saw there was no one to worship him, he didn't know what to do. So he brought her back to Jagannath Puri and placed her in the Puri temple. After some generations, people began to think that she was Lakshmi Devi, so they worshipped her as Lakshmi. And she revealed herself to those devotees as Lakshmi Devi. But on this particular night, she told the king, Purushottam Jana, actually, I am Srimati Radharani. Send me to Vrindavan. So there was a wonderful, wonderful procession. And here, at this very spot, she was installed to the great joy of all of the Vrijavasis and the Goswamis. And thus, we have Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Some years later, Aurangzeb, actually before that, I'm sorry, One of the disciples of Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, whose name is Raj Man Singh of Amber, near Jaipur, he was a general in the army of King Akbar, and it was he who arranged the construction of this beautiful temple, Sri Sri Radha Govindaka. The most spectacular achievement of architecture in all of North India. This temple was 7 stories at the time in height. But years later, Aurangzeb, who was living at the time in Agra, he had seen the wonderful dew lamps that were burning on the roof of this temple. And when he found out it was a temple of the Hindus, he became outraged that the Hindus could have such a monumental structure worshipping their god. He sent his soldiers to Vrindavan to destroy the temples as well as the objects of the worship of the devotees. Upon hearing this, the king of Jaipur, Maharaj Jai Singh, he arranged for the prominent deities of Vrindavan to be secretly brought to Jaipur. They took the deities of Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madhava, Radha Vinod, Radha Damodar, Vrinda Devi. The story of Vrinda Devi is very beautiful. When Srila Rupa Goswami was living here, Vrinda Devi appeared to him in a dream and told him that my murti form, which was originally installed by Vajra, is under the ground near Brahma Kund. So Rupa Goswami excavated the Vrinda Devi and installed her also in this temple. So all those deities were being secretly escorted from Vrindavan. First they were brought to Sri Radha Kund, where they stayed for a short time. Then they were brought to Kamyavan, where they stayed for some time. And then they were brought to Rajasthan, Sri Jaipur, where the king protected them with his great strength. And to this day, the original deities of Sri Radha Govinda are worshipped in Jaipur, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people come each and every day for Mangal Aarti and Sandhya Aarti in the evening. It's one of the most joyously enthusiastic congregations of devotees out of the world. So Srila Rupa Goswami, we have heard beautiful discussions of his life and glories by His Holiness Jayadurtha Maharaj and His Grace Dinabandhu Prabhu this morning. This was the holy land where he worshipped Sri Radha Govinda. Govinda Dev is the Abhideya Murti, which means that we worship him to engage in his active service with complete attachment. And through that attachment, we gradually, by His grace, achieve the state of prema bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, prema puna kumartha mahan, the ultimate goal of all goals, the purushartha siromani, is pure unaware love of Krishna. The next place we will go from here is the deity of Sri Radha Gopinath, the Prayojana Murti, who is worshipped for pure unalloyed love for the Supreme Lord of Vrindavan. So here, let us take this very, very wonderful opportunity in this beautiful temple amongst so many sincere and devoted Vaishnavas to pray at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev, that we may forever be engaged with our body, mind, words, and life as the servant of the servant of the servant of their servants. Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, he would regularly come here to offer his worship at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Govinda Devi. And so much transcendental joy he experienced that he wanted to share it with the whole world. And thus he has come into our lives to induce us to live the lives according to the teachings of Sri Rupa Goswami and to come together here in Vrindavan to chant the holy names of Sri Radha and Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada came in the West and preached to us, we had the idea that when we go to India, we'll see every city, there's a big temple, and everybody goes to the temple, and they chant Hare Krishna, and worship the deity. And we got off the plane in Bombay, we didn't see anything like that. We got down from the plane in Delhi, we also didn't see anything like that. We didn't see it anywhere. One time we went to Jaipur and we saw what Prabhupada was talking about. If you go on top of the mountains, you look down, you can see in the original city, you can see the wall all the way around and Govindadev's temples right smack in the center of the walled city. He's right smack in the center. And if you go there to that temple, you will see such spontaneous. This is what we thought. The Prabhupada was talking about Krishna consciousness. It was like that. Everybody comes. Everybody's got their favorite arti. Some people come for Mangal arti. Some people come for the Darshan arti. Somebody comes for Noon arti. Everybody's got their favorite. Everybody comes. And everybody chants. It's not like there's a Brahmachari ashram there and they come out and bring out the Madanga. Everybody just comes and spontaneous. They have kirtan. All the Rajasthani ladies are there in their beautiful, colorful saris with all their bangles, and they're just spinning around and dancing for Radha Govinda Dev. There's one guy there with this big pink turban, and he's talking to Govinda. I don't know what he's saying, but he just sits there talking to Govinda Dev and dancing, and then he talks to Govinda Dev. And there, nobody buys prasadam for his own self. If you go there, you'll see you can get these little like, blue poker chips is what they look like. You buy them for the pujari on one side, you go to the other side, the prasad bandar is there. However many chips you bought, you give them, and they give you these laddus. Then nobody eats those laddus, they stand all around, there's a huge prakama marg. And they stand in that prakama marg, breaking it into little pieces, and giving prasad to all the other devotees. It's the most amazing example. Even Prabhupada said, you will hear, see spontaneous devotion. This is what we thought. Krishna consciousness. This is what we thought India was all about. Everywhere there's a temple in the center of the town, everybody comes and worships the deity. You just see everybody there just chanting and they specifically love to chant Hare Krishna mantra. And it's the most amazing experience. And they have a very sweet way of chanting also. I've noticed whenever I go there. They somehow get two syllables. It's Govinda, but they get three syllables out of it. Jaya Radha, Govinda Radha, Govinda Radha. Jaya Radha, Govinda Radha, Govinda Radha. Jaya Radha, Govinda Radha, Govinda Radha. Thank you. Govinda Radhe. Chanting deity. You see my body here, but my heart is there. He never let me take it back. You just see my body here. So I warn you, don't go there either. That's another place. You never go there. You'll never bring your heart back from that place. Once you see Govindadev, it's gone. Now they also tell about, as Maharaj was saying, this temple was actually 7 stories high. That's why you look at it, it looks sort of funny when you're walking up, it looks very squat. Because originally there was a few more stories on top. Now the Brijavasis who live here, they tell me that actually Aurangzeb never touched this temple. He came here with his army, but a huge swarm of black bees attacked them and chased them away. But out of fear, he gave the order that anyway, this temple has to come down or I will attack again. So they, piece by piece, they took, it was never actually destroyed. That's why you see most of this bottom part is intact. They just took it down a little way so that he wouldn't bother this temple. So they took it down piece by piece and used the pieces in other temples. But this is the most amazing, there's no other temple like this in anywhere in India with this type of design. Somehow or other, Rajaman Singh, he made a very wonderful design, probably in Rupa Goswami's direction. And they say this huge lotus flower in the center dome here, this one piece of stone. Now how they got it up there without, you know, Larson and Kubro cranes and stuff like that, I have no idea. But this is a huge one piece of stone up here. And Mara said, this is actually the most fabulous temple in all of Northern India, when it was in its pride and glory. And today, being filled with hundreds and hundreds of Vaishnavas, again it has achieved its pride and glory. Everyone sitting here in this huge temple. It was actually made. Rupa Goswami had this temple made because he knew in the future hundreds and hundreds of Vaishnavas would come here and they would all chant, Hare! Because this huge temple is here, that's why, although we were at Lata Damodar, Rupa Goswami's Samadhi and Bhajan Kutu are there, but this is Rupa Goswami's temple here, so you may ask why Rupa Goswami's Samadhi and Bhajan Kutu were over there. Because here huge construction was going on. So that time Rupa Goswami, he shifted over there to Lata Damodar temple and did his bhajan and trained up his disciple Jiva Goswami. Unfortunately, Rupa Goswami entered into the eternal Leela before this temple was ever completed. But anyway, that's why his Bhajan Kutir and Samadhi Mandir over there in Radha Damodar temple. Sri Sri Radha Govindadeva Ki, Sri Rupa Goswami Pada Ki. Thank you.